Welcome to Story Breakers, a show we come up with a brand new film idea every single episode.
And if you like it, it's yours.
I'm your host, Chris Brennan.
And I'm Stephen Ryan.
And Stevie, today we have a special guest.
Well, special is a understatement. Ooh, you didn't see that coming.
I thought you were going the other way.
Special guest.
You may remember him from such episodes as Zorro, and that is all. We have filmmaker, writer, and host, co-host of the Film Show podcast, Aidan Duffy.
Hello.
Welcome back, sir.
It's good to be back in more acoustically amenable surroundings.
Exactly, yeah. The last time you were here, those sounds were hitting you like Zorro's sword. It's like, ah, yeah, on guard.
Yeah, so. There was flames everywhere. There was chandeliers falling. This is a much more chilled.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you lay carpet in a cave. It really does help with the sound.
It's true. Cool. So today we are going to make a film off the top of our head. You guys want to pick one?
Well, it's the new year. Yeah. That was the first podcast of 2016.
Woo. Yeah, I can't believe 2015 is still in the past. It's crazy. Did you guys enjoy Star Wars as much as I did?
I'm going to go there.
I didn't see it.
I think because of the festive period just behind us, we should let Mr. Duffy choose.
Yeah.
Shoot. What would you guys say about...
This is how we normally do it on Twitter. When right. Someone's like, hey, do you guys take requests? And I'm always like, if you had to make any film again, any reboot any film, if you were asked to, which one would you choose? Because when you're asked that, it's not that you've decided to. It's like a studio company's asked you to do this. Mm-hmm. In order for you to get your independent project off, you have to reboot a film. You get to choose which one. Which one we choose?
How about a sequel?
Sure. We accept sequels, prequels, origin stories, reboots.
I'm thinking a sequel because in the real world there's a parallel thing going on. But how about a sequel to Ghostbusters 2? A kind of a
sweet,
yeah.
So bring the guys, some of the guys back from the dead or whatever, you know. And
yeah, it's definitely one of my better ideas, Stevie. I think.
Let's do
it. Well, it would be they'll never see, right? Because the next ones are a fresh universe.
Yeah, it's hypothetical. So let's just.
So we can't go wrong.
Let's go nuts.
Sweet, I'm good with that.
I ain't afraid of no sequel.
Ghostbusters. Okay. So it is a sequel to Ghostbusters 2. Is it set now? Is it like this much years passed by? Why not? Because then we can actually explain why somebody isn't around anymore. You know, like, and why the other guys are old. Even though you could Michael Douglas the shit out of them.
Yeah, or do like a Jeff Bridges Tron Legacy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like my Ant-Man reference better.
Okay. I didn't see that film, I'm afraid.
Oh, really? Yeah, they de-aged Michael Douglas.
And it looks fantastic.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Let's set it now.
Okay, I have an idea about Ghostbusters. Let's shit can of ghosts.
Okay, what?
No, right. I'm only joking. Of course I'm only messing.
They're just busters.
Yeah.
They're just destroying copies of Ghosts starring Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, there's no more ghosts. They're just in the job center with their little hoovers on their backpacks.
How about we kind of, I kind of would like, it's kind of a fresh start in a sequel sense, you know, where maybe after these events have happened, because it's so long ago, you would have like, there's no more ghosts for like decades. So the kind of the idea of ghosts is kind of a thing of the past.
Yeah.
You know, because then we could bring it in and people are like, oh shit, it's real.
So you want to treat ghosts like antiques? Like there's no new antiques.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no new ghosts.
Yeah. And then like, say you can have their building, that fire station, is shut down due to inactivity. It's all dusty and...
condemned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. It could be kind of fun. Yeah.
How about then, if that's the case, what about if the Ghostbusters don't have any ghosts now to be haunted? What about if they turn the fire station into like a haunted house? They have access to the ghosts. They know which ones are friendly. And they turn it into like a ghost haunted house / laser tag kind of place. So people pretend to be the Ghostbusters going through all this.
Ghostbusters the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. It's got a little bit of that Jurassic Park selling out thing going yeah. Or Jurassic World.
I think that's a Ray Stantz idea. I think that's Aykroyd's... Aykroyd's doing it. I think Winston is going to be his assistant very begrudgingly. Oh man!
You think of Slimer. Slimer was a friendly ghost, wasn't he? So he could be like one of the main, the big bosses of the ghost world. You know what I mean?
I think Slimer has gone like full Miss Piggy, like full chill diva, diva on this. Like,
but then if you're doing it that way, I think I know where you're going with this. Are you saying like you started off, but it feels like it's a real dangerous ghost scenario,
exactly.
And that's how you open it up? It's kind of like, this is like the scariest Ghostbusters scene ever, but then it turns out that it's actually fraudulent.
I can see like they sold
and there's tons of kids behind him, and the lights go up, and it's Slimer. Yeah.
So you can even like have this like fake introduction of a new Ghostbuster. You know, he has all the gear on. He breaks open the door. He stares like, "Who the hell is this
guy?" Youthful guy.
Yeah, you know. It's like this isn't a Ghostbuster. What's going on? And it turns out, you know, the lights go up. Okay, that's it. Well done, guys. You survived the night. Okay, let's bring in the next crew.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be like a cameo for like somebody really big.
Like Michael Cera,
Justin Long or somebody. Yeah, I like that too because it's kind of funny. You're playing on the concept of they were going to reboot it and bring in young people to train. You know, like we may still go that route, but we're kind of taking that on at the top because the one thing about doing a sequel, and see, I'm not talking hypothetical. I'm like, look, I can fucking nail this goddamn sequel. I'm going, why don't we play with the legend that is the Ghostbusters sequel? Be like, we know it was troublesome. And I'd even think that you could take Bill Murray and have him, his character, sell the shares to Ghostbusters because he had nothing, he didn't want anything to do with what they turned into, you know?
Yeah. It turned into like a PLC kind of thing.
Yeah.
The franchise rights alone will make us rich beyond our wildest dreams.
It's like, we used to be about ghosts. Like, this is about entertaining kids. I don't want this. Like, what happened to all getting the women? Because he was kind of a womanizer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Dana, wasn't it?
Right in the middle of something, Ray. Yeah.
I love that opening. I think that'd be really fun.
That's pretty sweet. Okay, our big civilian character, I guess, is Dana. So what's Dana been up to? Oscar is going to be pretty much grown up at this point.
He's going to be like a late teenager.
Yeah, like young 20s, maybe.
I'm thinking that's our lead.
I'm thinking Michael Cera would be a good shout. honestly, like as son of Bill Murray, with just the right kind of... Like,
we've never cast him.
I said ironically.
I don't think anybody else has either. So we might as well give him a... Okay. Yeah, hypothetical job's better than a job, right?
Yeah.
You can stand in the hypothetical dole line.
Okay, so I reckon Dana's moved up in the world. Dana's like probably going to be like conductor at the New York Philharmonic or something.
I'm so happy you're here for this. You know what you're talking about. She was like a musician, wasn't she, for like the orchestra?
Yeah, you're the best one in your row. That's enough quotes out of me.
No, keep it going, because that gave me an idea we can play with later. Ghosts in the orchestra. They've never went there, did they?
No. Assuming we're in a parallel universe where Harold Ramis did not pass away, will we assume that? Or
I think keep the original four together. Why not?
I think, I'm just wondering, what has Egon been up to in the intervening years? I reckon he's like head of Stanford, or is like he's at like some conference with Stephen Hawking and like a bunch of the world's top guys. I guess a phone call of, you know, we're getting the band back together kind of thing.
So that's where we're going with this? We're getting the band back together?
I think we are. The question is, why are the band getting back together?
Like Wild Hogs with John Travolta? Didn't see that. And with Martin Lawrence, right? Old guys on motorbikes. Yes. This is a recipe for success.
We could even do, you can shake hands straight away if you want, but what if Egon, we see Egon straight away, he's like, it's cool, but turns out he's just a ghost. He's Jedi, you know, that kind of way.
I like that.
You know, so we think that he looks like he's there, but actually no, he's just a presence.
Somebody walks right through him.
Yeah.
That was one of the ideas.
And you could probably have a pun about that too, like, you know, like they're seeing through your bullshit and someone walks right through them. Well, actually, at that point, maybe you have Dan Aykroyd's character. You say that Egon is like the in charge of something in the Senate or something.
He's some at some big university conference. He probably found the Higgs boson under his couch.
Okay, so instead of him doing that, you have Dan Aykroyd. But it turns out that it's actually dead Egon who's like whispering to him in the corner. Like, you know,
it's like Ratatouille.
Exactly. Like you kind of see his face drift through the wall, and he's like, No, it goes over here.
He really is the ghost whisperer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be so funny because like I like that immediately because, I mean, we're having a lot of fun with these, with where they've went to. It's not like they've all separated. Like the fact that one of them's dead and a ghost, like, and then you'll have a ghost Ghostbuster later on.
Yeah,
we haven't seen a busted ghost.
Ray and Egon can have that talk. It's like, you know, why don't you want to go public? You know, I give you the foremost ghost, and it's like, you know, my death provides me the perfect opportunity to stop dealing with people, Ray. I'd like to keep it that way.
That's brilliant.
That's a great impression. Are you just doing your regular voice there?
What? Impressions?
Didn't the Ghostbuster game, didn't they release a Ghostbuster game that was supposed to be like a rough kind of sequel to the second movie?
Yeah, it was kind of recycled.
But it was that they were supposed to go to like the ghost dimension, like a parallel dimension. But this could be Egon. This could be our kind of connection to that. But it could also be, if they are doing this little haunted house, Egon can actually talk to the ghosts and say, you know, figure out which ones are good, so he can actually like get them involved.
He's like the ghost agent.
Yeah, it's like what
the casting director.
Yeah, exactly. It's like while you're trying to figure things out and before you go to the other world, you know, why don't you just fill up your time with doing this instead of getting into getting the kids off the streets, you know?
Yeah. Ray, I have some very bad news. Slammer wants another 5%.
Yeah. That's a great scene as well. Like, that totally is.
Give him a cupcake. Okay, we'll take it.
Okay, so we start off with that haunted house situation. It's really dark, scary. Do you think Michael Cera is the Ghostbuster here, or do we introduce him later?
No, I think we should introduce him later. I think we just have a generic guy in this.
Yeah. So, it could be like a fake out, like something like Chris Hemsworth. In,
I was thinking, like a hero. No,
5 minutes and then he
I was like
out.
Channing Tatum, I might go like, get like the archetype Hollywood badass, and he actually went through the house, and then he gets scared, he's like, no! You know, lights go up, and he's like, man, that was scary, you know? And
that's Adrian! Just, yeah. It's so scary in there!
So we're really going, like, we flipped everything, so the scene's over, and then who's running that place?
I think it's Ray, and I think Winston is helping out more out of pity than anything else.
Well, he was never good at anything else, was he? So he takes the jobs where he can get them.
Yeah, it follows on nicely from 2, where they're going around entertaining the kids, and Winston's heart really just isn't in it.
Gotcha, so then Bill Murray is the one who's pretending to be the genius, and that's Egon, which makes more sense for a Bill Murray character, because he pretends to be a scientist in the first one anyway.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I know he is a scientist, but his whole things don't work, and he just wants to get laid.
Yeah, and Ray has just too much heart. He would never actually cash in on the ghost of Egon doing his research.
That's brilliant.
That's fraud, Peter! It's fraud!
So we introduce then, after that haunted house, quote-unquote, scene, we introduce Ray and Winston, and they're talking, like, they basically set that up for the audience. This is what they've been doing this whole time. It pays the bills, you know? They might go down to a local dive bar, because I kind of feel like that's what they'd be at. They're like the local kind of job. Like, it's like they work in a quickie mart, you know? It's kind of like, we go work, we're both single guys or whatever, they have a couple of beers, and like, see you tomorrow. Do you know that Looney Tunes where it's like the dog and the wolf or whatever, and they're like, good morning, Frank, good night, Frank, and they just clock in and clock out. I kind of feel like that's them in this scenario.
Yeah, I think it would be a neat way to slip in whatever our big nefarious threat is going to be.
Yeah.
We should creep it in like you know, Winston will say, you know, really like the blood coming out of the sitting room. That was a nice touch. I thought you did that. Okay, it must have been one of the ghosts. We'll check it out.
Oh, from the haunted house.
Yes, gotcha. So the house is even more haunted than they think it is.
So we're kind of... They're kind of like tempting fate a little bit, maybe, you know, kind of way they're pissing ghosts off in the another realm.
What if, because they've been housing ghosts for so long, what if the ghosts are actually in a weird way like mutating into each other for like this giant super ghost, like a Power Ranger kind of thing?
Yeah,
because they've been housing them for so long, and I'm not think they never really discussed what they're put into. So I always in my mind as a child thought it's just this one giant ball,
the container,
like chewing gum.
Yeah,
it's like old chewing gum. You stick it up,
and you can have like another Twinkie scenario where he's like, if you put gum together and you keep putting gum, like a rubber band, you know, like that ball.
Yeah,
you're like, soon enough, you keep building that ball, it becomes dangerous, you know.
Yeah,
and it's kind of unique. So
that's a big ball, rubber band.
So, but also because we've said that we've gotten rid of all the ghosts, they've cleaned it up so well, there are no more ghosts, and because they cleaned it up so well, they've created the ultimate ghost. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there should be somebody on the other side who can see what's going on and hates these ghosts prostituting themselves for the amusements of these living blooded.
Can we just have Satan people? In like another kind of way, or like the big bad, basically whoever is the biggest, like kind of the most evilest kind of creature that is in mythology, like can we just have him there? It's like, hold on, shit, this guy is real.
Well, we can do that with combining a bunch of ghosts together, and that becomes the gateway for the devil or whatever,
because
a devil can't just possess a normal spirit. So he has to like get a lot of spirits together to house his evil or some shit like that.
And Egon,
we're definitely sciencey in this.
Yeah, like,
you know,
Egon could be the liaison between us. Like, hold on a sec, there's a bit of a rumbling going on underground here. There's something going on. Yeah. I don't really understand it, you know. And he could disappear for a while. He could do the tour going off to the well thing in the Avengers. You know, disappears for 20 minutes.
Yeah, go takes a little dip.
Yeah, and then the audience comes out saying, "Wow, I can't wait to see that movie." I said, "Nobody ever." It might be an idea. Did you guys ever watch Extreme Ghostbusters, the cartoon? I remember there's one episode of that which always sticks out in my mind.
Extreme Ghostbusters?
Yeah, it was in the 90s, and it was like Ghostbusters with attitude.
Yes, I do remember that.
Egon was kind of like their mentor back in... No, like he was like their mentor back in The Office. like was him, Slimer, and Janine. So he was kind of like, what do you call the librarian guy from Buffy?
Giles.
Yeah, like he was in that.
He was the back computer, wasn't he? Basically.
Yeah, yeah. So they went out and did the stuff, but and that was where we had one female Ghostbuster. One was a kid in a wheelchair, and but there was just one episode where the four of them, they come across these ghosts that take the form of your worst fears. There's a kind of a creature in it, like
phobia. Episode 32 or whatever.
but the thing was that they all got paralyzed with fear of fighting their own, and they defeated them by fighting each other's fears. So it was like all about them. It was all about teamwork, and like,
let's do that. No,
well, it wasn't a bad idea, but I think that our super ghosts should feed off people's imagination. Like whatever the worst of people's imagination are, then it becomes that.
And yeah, that reflects back to the first one where just popped in there.
She was the destroyer. Yeah.
Don't think about it. Yeah. Keep your brains blank.
Yeah. Yeah. So after we set up those two guys, then we go to that United Nations area where you see Bill Murray talking to the whole huge team. You're like, wow, he's gotten far. Yeah. And I really sell that. It's another twist. So we've introduced both guys with kind of pullbacks. You know, like, yeah, it's this, it's this, it's this. And then he walks in, and maybe he's talking to himself. And you're like, did he lose his mind? It's crazy. Then Egon pops his face through the wall, and he's like, you messed up that one part. And he's like overcritical. He's like, look, I can't remember every goddamn thing you write for me.
I told you I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. And then you introduce what you said, which was great, where it's like, why don't you just introduce yourself as the first ghost politician? I don't deal with people. Like, I love that. That is fantastic.
I think the funniest, the funniest opportunities, maybe he does it, Egon kind of possesses Peter so that he won't have to whisper in his ear, because obviously everybody can see ghosts in this world. So Egon is inside Peter Venkman, which gives you a lot of opportunities for ghosts. So he just comes out of the bathroom, like, oh God,
that's finally really good. You're out of it. Yeah. when he's in Murray, you can just see that little the curl of his hair, you know, just popping out, the little holographic curl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get inside you. Can you please rephrase that?
It never gets easier.
We talked about phrasing here.
Ectoplasm does not count as lube, Egon.
Yeah, then you have that moment where someone comes in, like maybe a fan. Because Bill Murray has fans. He's like, shove the ghost in the bathroom.
Yeah, and Bill Murray's fans would follow him to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Where is Rick Moranis going to pop into all this?
Research assistant for Peter, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just takes down all the notes, takes down all the details, maintains his YouTube channel.
Should him and Janine have a kid at this stage? A little toddler running around the haunted house. The kid could be the one that says like about the blood effects and all that. You know, the kind of way, the innocent kid.
Yeah.
Could be like all the strange activities that are going on.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Maybe we can make him about, say, 10-ish, maybe. Around that age.
Okay, so Zac Efron. Babyface, I'm saying. So what happens next then? I think we want to get all of them together. I think it'd be great if we can get mainly Egon back to that haunted house, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want Bill Murray too, but Egon is like our bridge between the spirit world, so yeah. I'd love to, we need to start kind of gravitating all the scenes to getting, from now, to getting them back together.
Yeah, rather than being super urgent, maybe Ray and Winston do say, oh yeah, that is a bit of a thing. Maybe we should just get Egon in this. Seeing as how he's in town, he's giving a speech at the UN, and
I like it.
I think
that's some efficiency right there, man.
I'm thinking that our four original guys, they're the only people who know that Egon is still interacting with the real world, and they've agreed to keep his secret.
I like that.
Okay, that'd be pretty sweet. Okay, in terms of hardware, well, I guess we have to think more about this problem first. How is it manifesting? Is bleeding walls, that's very top of the head. We can do better, I think.
Bleeding floors. Like that rug is weird as no rug.
What if it's a
liquid
picture,
rugs,
a portrait on a wall, and it gets a nosebleed?
Ooh. That could be pretty sweet.
Or we just don't do bleeding at all.
Well, we've done pink
transparency
slime. Yeah, because if we go rivers of blood, I think we're pushing the PG-13 for this movie.
Really. Well, like, we turn it pink then.
Yeah, isn't it like Evil Dead 2? They just had any color but red and they got away with it. Like,
yeah,
black
and
black
made it worse.
Yeah, it's so nasty.
A cool thing that we could have is when they open a door to, they're maybe showing someone around, you know, a health and safety officer around, like the haunted house. They open the door to say, so this is the chamber, you know.
Yeah.
They open up and it's a whole new world. Like it's completely like, it's like when they open up, Dana opens the fridge in the apartment, you know, it's like Zool and all that. It's like it's scary as hell. And your man's like, that's some good special effects. Yeah, we're just gonna close that door right now.
Yeah.
Move along quickly. And then he's like, shit, okay, we need
Egon.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Well, that could be something then. Maybe it, instead of bleeding walls, it's literally like doorways are becoming portals. Yeah. Which is fucking terrifying for like anywhere in New York. They're like, don't open doors. What? It's like, don't open any doors. Can I go in one of those revolving doors? They're the worst.
We can set it at Christmas and have an advent calendar that just goes crazy.
It's a door that never ends.
Well, it was Christmas the other day.
Okay, so at some point in our third act, Central Park has to just be a shanty town with just like roomless, like 10 million people in the park.
Yeah.
I think Satanists start just building door frames in the middle of the street just to piss people off.
I think also, just to really bridge it together, like early on with Egon and Bill Murray, you can have that Egon kind of sensing something going. Like they're bickering or squabbling about something and Egon stops. What's going on? I felt a disturbance in the ghost force or whatever. You know, like he'd be able to kind of sense like there's some definite seismic activity happening. Like, you know, he's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So they call up Bill Murray, but also Egon's like, we need to go back because, well, where's it happening? Where's all the seismic activity? It hasn't been a ghost in a while. He's like, the only place that we know for a fact there are ghosts. Where?
New York City.
Our office, like our old office. Like, it's the only place guaranteed to actually have ghosts.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you want shoes, you go to a Foot Locker.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool conceit for us because it's easy for us, and it really plays into the history of them as well. Yeah. Like, also, you house these ghosts. You never destroy these ghosts.
Yeah. Also, the fact that they've got ghosts on side, I think that, you know, previously they just had that, like, force field, whatever. Remember the thing that Dickless shut off in the first movie? Yeah. So maybe that really pissed the ghosts off, and maybe it was like, okay, we can do these, like, little ghost apartments. Like, they all have their own little chamber. They just clock in and clock out. Like, they have their own, like little tea cards. Yeah, but they could just have, like a storage locker. Like, maybe it's, like, a vending machine or something. And once they're in there, they have their own little ghost apartment all to themselves. Because it's when you're just in there, in, like, the fucking, the phantom zone, with all the ghosts scrambling for space. That's what pisses them off. That's what makes the ghosts misbehave. Yeah. So I think they've sort of evolved that technology. I'm sure Ray and Winston.
No, but see, I think they don't, and that's why it's actually caused trouble. Okay. So I think that's where the issue came from, and that's where like Egon comes in and probably describes that to you. Did you guys not see my schematics? Like, I've designed this for you for this exact purpose. The ghosts are restless. That's why they're ghosts. So you made them even more restless, and now they're actually joining together. He's taking, instead of a Twinkie, he's getting marshmallows and pushing them together. And like, what's his name?
That's a small Stay marshmallow.
Yeah, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, I'm thinking if like,
yes, and we're tying it in as well.
Yeah, because if Ghostbusters: The Experience has become a thing, we kind of want to put Ray and Winston and the Skids at the start of this movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if it's like, you know, Stay Puft just called? They're canceling their product placement. It's like, oh shit! And like they're giving away goodie bags of the marshmallows to the kids on their way out.
Excellent. And then you have Winston using that example, or Egon using the example with the marshmallows, and
that's a small marshmallow.
That's a small marshmallow. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine reducing the population of New York City to a piece of land the size of the Higgs boson.
Sweet. So they're introduced. This is like your end of your first act, and we're like, look, something is happening. Something's going down. I do think we need an action scene now. I think something needs to explode. Something needs to come out, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they should be playing whack-a-mole. They should try and solve it in the building, but then it fucking pops up somewhere else.
This was going to say, we have a whole haunted house that we can play with that where basically they get stuck in their own haunted house, but the haunted house turns into, it's like real kind of modern warfare kind of stuff going on. You know the way? It's like the rooms change into like other dimensions. There's other access and they have to get in and out of it. And
is this where we introduce Michael Cera?
Yeah, maybe when the Ghostbusters are
at the end of the scene.
Yeah, they
might be coming to help them.
I think we need to weave Dana in so that Oscar's along for the ride. What if, like, if Egon and Peter are giving a big talk at the UN or something? What if there's like a drinks reception and the orchestra's there and it's like, last person I wanted to see is, you know, Peter Venkman.
Yeah.
How is Oscar dealing with all this? Is he like a celebrity because he's like the son of a Ghostbuster and? You know.
I could imagine him be, you know, like it would have been that, but it's so long has gone now. The Ghostbusters it's nonchalant. Like no one cares about them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Z-list celebrity now at this stage. Mm-hmm. So it's like he might be able to get into the odd nightclub because of the name, but anywhere that's worthwhile, no one wants to know him.
It could be a sweet running gag that everybody thinks that Oscar is Peter Venkman's son, even though he isn't. He was actually the musician, the stiff who left for Europe. He's not my dad. He just left my mom.
And raised motherfucker. For a couple years.
Cool. What's that scene though? What's the action scene? Like,
Action beat.
I like this. You know, like, the way I'm looking at it is, I really wish there was a positive metaphor here, but they're trying to contain something, and when they squeeze too tightly, it pops somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, like a pressure
yeah.
valve. Like
yeah.
It's like the steam popping through the pipes, and it just starts
yeah. going And so out. They're like, we can keep it here, we need to contain it here, but I think when it pops, it, like, goes underground, and then comes out across the street or something, and are like, we were okay, even if the ghosts escaped, because they would have built, like, the housing of the buildings, probably reinforced it so a ghost, so Slimer can never get out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it actually goes underground and pops out across the street and are like, shit. So maybe the scene isn't the complete launch, but a few snuck out. Like, they've escaped, like, the Great Escape or whatever.
Right. Do we think that the Ghostbusters still have it? Do they? Are they still, like, sharp with their
this
skills?
This is a great scene to discover that.
Yeah, yeah, they're
they haven't done this shit in ages.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you want them rusty, you know? Do you want them, yeah, like, firing their... What's the guns called?
The proton packs?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Like, that's something different. And they keep missing. You know, the sort of thing is, like... Or are they, like, sharpshooting?
No,
you know?
I think it's more interesting if they're rusty. I don't think there's much of a journey if they're back at it.
Yeah, we have that really cool slow walk, you know, the astronauts move. Whereas, like, they call Ray. It's like, Bill Murray's like, okay, we need you back here now, you know. It's after happening, you know. It's like, we need to initiate the protocol. And he's like, okay, I've got to be right there. They put in the suits. They do the slow walk. It's like, oh, feels good to be back in these, you know, to be needed again. Do it. And they are just terrible. It's...
Yeah, you know that staggering walk to the stairs they do in the first movie. They did that, but they're on like floor two.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool if we were to set this at Halloween. That the whack-a-mole thing that happens at Halloween. Maybe there's like a Halloween parade or something, some big event going on in the city, and then suddenly you've got real ghosts showing up on people's houses.
So I do like that idea where people think it's fake, but it's real, and they think that what's
like
real
that.
Is fake,
yeah.
And you know,
you
here just
come
don't
these
understand.
Ghostbusters. You're not sure, are you guys the real Ghostbusters? What's a Ghostbuster? You remember that thing in the '80s?
Yeah, that was all a hoax. I saw a YouTube video all about it.
It's very 21 Jump Street.
And I know it's really corny, but it would be kind of funny if they, instead of who are you going to call, they were like, we got a tweet.
Who are you going to tweet? At Ghostbusters.
Can I Snapchat you? Will you still come and save us then?
And they're like, the phone isn't ringing. I just think the phone was ringing. And we're like, my voicemail, you know, my email's busted.
Yeah.
But I think...
That'd be great that the proton packs interfere with the cell phone network. So they're all in the dark if they've got their proton packs turned on.
So we have that scene where shit is happening in their the Halloween house, you know, and they're just controlling it, and they're managing to like grab ghosts, but it's like haphazard. Like, they don't even have the right equipment, so they're really making it up as they go, and they're kind of succeeding by the skin of their teeth and by chance, you know. One ghost gets out and they grab and they put it away another, and they're like, look, as long as it contains in here, and you can have it next to a window, you know, as long as they're in here, we're set for this. And then across the street, just boom, and you just see like a bunch of ghosts zipping out, and they're like, oh, cut to the next scene. What we need to do. And they're like, here's your thing. I don't even think these suits fit, you know?
Yeah, it's like, Egon, what the hell is going on here, you know?
Well,
I think that there's a... I'm not even going to do an impression because you nailed it.
Yeah.
I think there's a... You know, he describes what's basically going on to them. You know, he do the sciency moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like what he
the proton packs were built to have a half-life of 50,000 years. Unfortunately, we only have 4 of them, and there are 11,063 ghosts. I suggest we upload the blueprints for the proton packs online to enlist additional help. And then that gives us our kind of Ghostbusters Generations kind of idea.
Yeah, cool. And then I think that ghosts have escaped, but it is like a military lockdown kind of. So they're like, Egon, who broke out? And they were like, well, everyone's back in the cell, but except for this one. Where did they go?
Well, Draco the Maltravian.
And it's like, Winston, as you may remember, ghosts are territorial creatures. Like, they'll go back to where they died, where they haunted, you know? So they know who's escaped, and they know where they're going to be.
That's good.
So then they're like, we need to go to this hotel. And it would be great if they go back to the same hotel they went before.
Yeah, yeah.
And that guy is...
It's a restaurant.
The maitre d'
is there. Was it?
Yeah.
Because they went to a hotel, right? And the guy's like... And they destroyed the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have that guy on his last day of work. He's going to retire.
Yeah.
And people are like, there's no ghosts. He's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then a
we
ghost
came,
pops
we
up.
Saw, we kicked its ass.
And you thought 5,000 was much? Wait for inflation, baby.
And then that's our big action scene, like, which we need, you know? And that's what I think, you're right, like, they're terrible.
Yeah.
And we're back in a familiar place, which I think is fun. Like, you have such a good gag with going back to the same place. The same guy is there, and it's like, they suck. They destroy even more of the place, you know? Mm-hmm. You probably have it built back to exactly the way it used to be, you know?
Like restored to like 1864. Yeah. Yeah. They've just finished the restoration. That's what's happened.
20 years
they're
later.
They're cutting the ribbon on the fucking thing. And then the fucking ghosts show up. Okay, who should we get as helpers? People who've built Ghostbusters and then just fucking young guys who don't have a fucking clue.
I don't think so.
Them. Or girls.
I think that the new generation of people in the world will be like, who are these guys? And won't want to know about them. But the people they have helped in previous movies could be like, you know, we believe in you guys. You know, you are the Ghostbusters. We're here to help you. You helped us before, we'll help you. So we get the old mayor back. You know, the kind of way the guys who ridiculed them. You know, the kind of way the whole way through the movies and get all them fellas back.
That'd be sweet. What about Peter McNichol from Ghostbusters 2? Janosch.
He's good.
He should be along helping out.
Rick Moranis. I'll
help do the taxes. I'll do the paperwork. Yeah, you take care of the.
And they give him a proton pack. What am I going to do with this? I don't remember what it is. I'm going off. My impression is doing an impression.
Yes, very good. Yes.
You do an impression of me. Do an impression of him.
Well, what's this proton pack?
Sweet. So yeah, I think this isn't the only scene. I think they really struggle to get that ghost in the hotel. I mean, we don't have to go into specifics. They trash the place. And it's not even a particularly bad ghost. I don't think it's Slimer. That's too much of a recreation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a badass looking ghost, but it's probably an idiot. You know, like that dumbass from Gremlins? You know, like that dumb gremlin with like the cuckoo eyes?
Yeah.
Think of that as a ghost. Like, it's scary looking, but it's a complete imbecile. And if they were on their game, they would have been able to catch this thing.
Well, like a cave troll kind of thing. It's more brawn than brain. That'd be sweet.
I think they nearly cross streams quite often. They nearly shoot each other. Uh-huh. Like maybe they just missed the manager guy.
Could we have this word like calling out patterns and plays? Like in other ways, like what they used to do. Like
242, huh?
Yeah, and then it's like they start bumping each other. No, you're supposed to be on the right, you know. And then they start bickering between each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the other one's there. He's like, come on, guys. Now we need you to focus here, you know.
I think maybe, what do you think if this is a hotel where Dana is staying? Because she's been on tour with her orchestra.
Yeah.
More importantly, this is where like Oscar can actually slide that thing underneath the ghost, and he's the one that catches it. So it's like they needed the help. Like,
yeah, he's going to step up to his destiny now. Dana's there. Dana's like, you know, she knows her way around a proton packer too.
Yeah.
So yeah,
sees what's his name from the second one?
Janosch.
If he sees Janosch, he's like, how do I know this guy? You know, because remember he robbed him in the boogie and all that.
Yeah.
He's like, I get a weird feeling from this fella. Like, did we meet before? Or it's like, we'll leave that behind. Yeah.
Worst babysitter ever.
So then, they save them. I think I wouldn't mind like you know then Indiana Jones and also in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek. Mm-hmm. There's this thing that once it kicked off, it just kept going. I think that would be really fun for this.
Yeah.
Like as soon as Oscar Michael Cera catches that thing, there's a moment where we can go back and explain stuff. I think it's like, get to the next spot.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no time. He's like holding up that smoking little pedal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I can't believe it's real. Oh my God. And they're like, no time for that kid. And each of them running by, telling him something. He's like, we have to go here. And you're going to come with us. And then Egon drifts over to him. And he doesn't know Egon's, like, he doesn't know the ghost thing at all. And he just freaks out.
Yeah. Is that another one? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Actually, that could be a thing where he goes, is that another one? And actually hits the button again and sucks Egon into it. But Egon could be fighting their battles from the other side then, you know the way?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. My name is Egon Spindler. I give you a pediatric test when you were 6 months old. Kind of Ghostbusters 2.
But isn't it with the, just in the science of this, that thing sucks him into like a small container unit, and then that has to get transported.
That's very true.
So they can accidentally sneak Egon in, but maybe at the next scene, like, it's actually, they open it up and Egon comes out and does a ghost battle.
Yeah.
grabbing someone by
the... He hasn't played headlock yet. Yeah. He backs him into it. As well, I think
we've never seen that, which is a new thing where you're actually releasing ghosts to fight each other.
Ghost fighting ghosts, yeah.
It's like Celebrity Deathmatch.
No, it's like a Pokeball. Egon, I choose you.
Egon comes out going, well, I actually don't believe that.
He's tremendously undignified.
I know we do this. We do this quite a lot, like, you know, the ticking time bomb scenario in it, but I think it's better for pacey movies that we need to get this done fast.
Yeah.
What if you were saying earlier on about the proton pack having so much life in it? What if the proton packs are running out and they only have tonight to save the place, you know, the kind of way, or they only have a couple of hours to get the job done? So that's why it's like, hey, we're not going back to the fire station. We need to explain all this shit on the run.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And even the... Furthermore, of the ticking time bomb, maybe it's like that doorway is opening you know, in whatever manner we're talking about, like that. Like in the end, I want all the marshmallow creatures to get out. That's our third act, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the combined ghosts, the Ghostazoid, and I think that's the time bomb. There, it's like we cannot, like that containment unit. We've introduced the concept of the power pack losing battery. It should be in line with the thing. They're like, we need to get all these ghosts and we need to shut this thing down. Like we need to stop this, because if we run out of battery in the building, this giant ghost is getting out, you know? So that's our time bomb. And they're like, we need to get all of these fuckers in, yeah, you know?
I think I've got a name for our super ghost. What about we call him Ecto?
Ecto.
Every ghost that has ever existed.
Is that what is...
Well, it's ectoplasm, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Ecto, and, ecto yeah. is just like the ghost adjective. He can just tag it on to anything.
I like that.
Okay. I think we should have, like, if this thing feeds off people's imagination, it's like Egon says, you know, I've been doing some research, and like he's been consulting with like the librarian from the very first, the opening scene. And he's like, you know,
and that's his new fiance
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it's like Halloween was originally a primitive festival where man would offer nuts and fruits to gods to get them to fuck off out of their crops for the winter. Unfortunately, Christian tradition dictated an All Souls Day had to happen immediately after. The problem is that Ecto believes that All Souls Day is real. That's why he's gathering all souls to him. So we've got like 24 hours to the end of the first.
Just stay in that character, man. I like what's going on here. Okay.
Character for the rest of it.
This is like pure dialogue.
I'm always serious.
Yes, I like this. All right, so cool. At that point, I do think that maybe the Ecto... Let's see. Ecto is going to be the large vessel for this one ghost. I like the ghost with the who takes imagination. I think he should be on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal is to
create this
to get all those things together, because the imagination thing I really like, but you don't want to hold that to the end. We want to play with that throughout, and that's a chase, and that gives us something to go after, because if they can't catch this guy and that thing opens up, then he gets into the thing, he gets into the Ecto, and that's what we want. That's our third act.
Yeah.
This giant ghost.
Yeah. And they sent a request to City Hall. Can we animate the Statue of Liberty again? It's like, no, do you realize how much damage you guys did to that thing the first time?
Yeah. You didn't even put her back in the right pose.
Yeah. Yeah. And like she's holding her fingers up like a marketing thing for Ghostbusters 2 still. No, you guys are not getting the statue again. I'm sorry.
Sweet.
What if... Okay, I've got an action beat for the third act. So, but we're in the second act now. So do you think our Ghostbusters...
Drop it to us now if you want.
Okay, I was thinking.
I mean, if you want to hold it, sure. But we normally can get to it. Like, but you normally talk this stuff, so we can actually guide it in that direction.
Okay, I'm okay. I've got a big set piece about an American monument that we can use.
The Liberty Bell of Hell.
I was thinking of what if our guys go to Mount Rushmore and try and animate the four presidents to stand up out of that and use
just the faces rolling down the street.
No. But they managed to grow them out of like the memories of George Washington. Hell, Egon can go to the other side and say, President Washington, we really need your help, even though I don't approve of your position on slavery. Something like that. And Winston is like, that should be a big bugbear of Winston, the fact that George Washington was a slave owner, and then they're animating his body.
Can this be a suggestion that it doesn't happen? Could be. I would love that. I love the idea of it, but I just don't think, I mean, that's like the worst thing of the second one was the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I think recreating more national walking things is just...
Oh, okay.
Symbols of patriotism, walking around and saving the day, it's a bit
might
Americana.
Be a bit
okay. I think Michael Cera is our Statue of Liberty in this one. You know.
The imagination thing. Okay, we've got Michael Cera. We need to introduce it. Like, they've caught in one ghost. Now we introduce this imagination idea.
So we
and that's one of the escape ghosts.
We can have them in the car. You know, the old ghost of the car is chucking
yeah,
along.
One. Yeah.
We can have Egon sitting there, you know, and he's going through his list. Okay, so we've got to hit in this house, we're hitting this library, whatever. And then it's like the last person. It's like, okay, guys, the last ghost that we have to pick up, he's a bit of a badass, you know. He kind of gets into your head and takes your imagination and plays with you. I heard about him before, and I don't know, it could be a bit dangerous, this fella, you know. So just we need to be on our game or whatever, you know. That sort of
I
thing.
Agree.
Yeah.
And where are they going to go? We need a fresh location now. The orchestra. How about Dana and the orchestra? Then what a great place. We haven't seen this, and we mentioned it maybe in a few episodes back, but Mission Impossible has such a great opera scene.
Yeah.
And I want something similar. I know it's going to be mainly orchestra, like when you watch like a Hans Zimmer live or whatever. Like, I want something like that, like a national concert hall. And I want what I want.
How about Carnegie Hall if we're in New York?
Sweet. I like that. And he goes there, like the Ecto is this ghost, and yeah. Ecto will become the big ghost. So we can refer to this villain as Ecto.
I can just picture Harold guiding them there, and this is like the next one is at Carnegie Hall. And he says, "How do you get to Carnegie Hall?" There's no time for jokes, Peter.
Yeah, Peter's been silent, hasn't he?
He really has.
Which is very surprising, since everything is based on Peter. We've gotten like 45 minutes out of nothing but no Peter, you know?
Who knew Egon was going to be the centerpiece of this movie?
Yeah.
Because I can do the impression, that's all.
Yeah.
So, I wish I could do Bill Murray.
So we have Carnegie Hall. Can you tell me more about this imagination ghost?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a paralyzing one target at a time thing. It's
okay,
like
I like that.
Paralyze you and then paralyze you. Is he taking people over to the other side, flesh and blood, and our guys have to get them back? Or is that a bit played out?
What if he just tries to make people sacrifice themselves? He can't take them, but he can make them sacrifice themselves to turn themselves into ghosts, basically.
I like Frozen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that kind of Frozen thing. You know, like, they literally kind of freeze in their place or whatever. Because you can have, like, people go into an orchestra and all of a sudden it's like... and then it's just this entire room is frozen. It's like, what happened, you know?
It'd be even better if it was the conductor where he's just waving his Harry Potter wands around and he just stops.
And then everyone stops because he stopped doing it. Yeah.
He's just frozen there and everyone's kind of looking around like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, so it's kind of like what Professor X does, but like much less benevolent. Like, yeah. Like mime artists.
We introduced this by having the guys running in and there's this guy looking for tickets, you know? But he's frozen. And as they're going in, it's just, there's a bunch of like, frozen, like, stiff individuals, and Egon can explain, like, oh no, this is how he does it. Like, he takes their soul. Like, we need to reanimate them. And I like even the phrase reanimate as in they're not animated.
Yeah. And Peter just says, I know Carnegie Hall is always full of stiffs, but this is ridiculous.
And he's back.
I absolutely love the conductor thing, though. That is so good. Because you can have them, like, imagine, like, we run with them, and what a great shot. They run in the door, they push the door open, and it's a full orchestra with a full hall. And it's like, find one ghost. How are we going to find one ghost? And they're whispering to each other, I don't know, you should go over there. You go over there. Keep it down, you know? And all of a sudden, all the music stops. And they're like, I told you to keep it down. And it's actually, the conductor is frozen.
And he's just in the weirdest pose ever, you know?
Yeah.
He's just,
And because it's that one pose, you got this one trumpeter just holding the note for as long as he can. That is such a good scene.
I think Dana should.
He goes.
I think Dana should get out of this. I think Dana should know what's up, rather than just or like putting Dana frozen might just be a little.
No, she's not frozen. I mean, none of the orchestra are frozen.
Okay,
it's only the conductor.
Right, but it's
because he's frozen one note. Everyone's waiting for their note, except one trumpeter who's.
We could even have a great part, like just for this the sound, the score, like in a movie. You could have like just a drummer. Dum, 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 you know, and build it up, like, you know, and you just have that building. It's just constantly.
There's a guy about to hit a triangle and doesn't know if he should or not.
Right at the crescendo of the music, too, you know?
Uh-huh.
So now they know. So I think maybe Bill Murray kind of lets off a squeaker of a plasma shot and then people go crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And Dana, like, gets up and she, like, maybe saves some people because I think she needs to be a bit more heroic as well, you know?
Yeah, she's being true to. She knows the score.
It's a going to be her dying for role.
Ghosts.
Yeah. Plus, we know she can do it.
But, I just kind of think, like, he just jumps the gun a little bit and he goes, boom, and he just lets off this little squirt of a fucking shot. And they're like, no! And
no
everyone
encore,
goes
people.
Crazy.
Come on, out.
Yeah. Because then you have this whole frantic, energetic scene with people racing around and some of them are just freezing in their place. And it's like, follow those stiffs.
I think it's Egon, really, who can really jump in here, isn't it? He can have like he can be the one who can confront Ecto.
He should just kind of take the conductor's place and just kind of like marshal them. It's like, now over here. And then you can do this like a whole musical, like the score that's not the orchestra is coming in. And it's like Egon is conducting them on how to counterattack the ghosts.
Oh, I like that.
So like should we give Egon the ability to possess people just to fucking help them out? It's like, I don't care.
Well,
I'm just going to hijack this guy's body.
He was possessing Ray earlier on. Like, why not?
Yeah.
How about if, because it's the imagination and they're all frozen, how about if when they're frozen and they're having their little, in their minds, they're having that like kind of panicky moment and everything's going upside down.
Yeah.
What if it's all in the one place, that so everybody that's in that room is in this one kind of parallel universe now, so they're all in that one room now.
Okay.
You know the way, so the Ecto is in, it's just one Ecto, and everybody that's frozen is all together. So
Egon, is that like in Lord of the Rings when you put the ring on?
In the ring world.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And but everybody that's been affected is in the one place.
And that's where Egon can go to.
Yeah. And then we can have a Ghostbuster who gets frozen.
Yeah.
We can have Michael Cera who gets frozen, you know, the kind of way, and then they like can be that. There and they can all help and they can basically work their way from the inside out.
John Paul Sartre once wrote, "Hell is other people." It turns out he was right. Kind of thing.
Look at this guy.
That was more J.K. Simmons. Should we put J.K. Simmons in the movie?
He'd be a great mayor, wouldn't he?
I think he should be Egon's dad. What is Egon afraid of? What if he was able to tap into Egon's worst fear?
Egon's afraid of living again.
Because Egon has been kind of our Gandalf. So
discos.
For our third act, it would be kind of sweet to yank Egon away from our group. That Egon gets pulled back to the other side and fuck, they're on their own now. What would you guys think of that?
I like that.
That's good.
Well, you want to take it. Get rid of your all-powerful person. I mean, look at even in Avengers Age of Ultron, I think, didn't they get rid of Thor for a bit? Because it's like, he'll win. Civil War's coming out, and they were like, why not Hulk and Thor? And the writers went, because they'll win. It's like, we can't put these guys next to these other guys. Like, Hawkeye can't go against Hulk. It just doesn't work, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is very true. So I think in this situation, my long-winded response is, yes, I agree. When you have such a powerful protagonist, get rid of him.
Yeah.
This is why in X-Men, Days of Future Past, they had to take away Professor Xavier's powers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this dude will win. Like, put him in any situation, he'll win. So take away his powers at very convenient moments.
Yeah, Magneto's not wearing a helmet for, like, over half the movie. So, of course he'll win.
Yeah. And plus he has powers that he doesn't want because it's a headache. Everybody thinks.
So
okay,
cool.
So Egon's going to get sucked to the other side in Carnegie Hall quite dramatically, but just with the least dramatic exit ever. It's like, I hate to stoop to your level, Peter, but I'll see you on the other side.
I like that. So I think maybe you have somebody, Egon tells them how to reanimate people. So you have people in real life reanimating the frozen guys, right? So you want each of them to have a job, right?
Right.
And then I do think that which one gets frozen? I like Oscar getting frozen.
Should we give it to Winston? Because he's not really going to do anything else for the rest of the movie, is he?
No, it'd be nice to give Winston a more proactive part. Like Winston rescues Oscar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's what I mean. So maybe he goes in because whoever goes in is going to have an active part.
Yeah.
Maybe it's those guys are freeing people from the inside.
Yeah, and Winston is possibly in the best physical shape of the surviving Ghostbusters as well.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
All right, sweet. So you have... So Dane is kind of like with the people and she's helping like... This rampage, like she's saving people. You've got Peter and Ray, like that's Dan Aykroyd. I think they're trying to, in real life, trying to zap Ecto, right?
Yeah.
You got those other two in the background, and you have Egon jumping back and forth. You know, he's kind of like the conductor, which is a great analogy.
I think Lewis Tully, the Rick Moranis character, he should be like uploading YouTube videos on how to reanimate your loved ones if to get frozen by Ecto. You just sort of move them around like this, and you know, like a public service announcement.
Can we have it where Egon is the only one who can see Ecto, and he has to basically tell Ray and Peter where he is because they're shooting blind because Egon can't use the proton packs.
Right.
So it's one of those type things. You know, he's telling them where to do. He's, you know, and that's gonna be a recipe for disaster in itself.
I think so.
Dana's helping getting everybody out of Carnegie Hawks to stop more people getting affected.
What if proton beams turn Ecto invisible? So you have to shoot where you think he's going to be?
Yeah. Like turn the light switch on and off
every time
he gets hit?
Yeah, just like as a visual effect. He disappears every time you fire. So it's like hitting a moving target constantly.
I like that. And then in the end of the scene then, we need Ecto to escape, but barely. And we need some consequences like... I like the idea of getting rid of Egon because that's a big consequence that happened to this battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really sets up, like, the time is out and Ecto jumps into the big, big baddie, you know?
One thing that could happen is the person who Egon goes into, who he possesses, basically could explode or die or something like that. So we're gone, and like it's Egon. It's like basically Egon. Where's Egon? Like, you know,
I like that.
The body is gone. There's like,
don't worry. The conductor died of natural causes.
So that's it. Like, so we as the audience think that he's gone. The Ghostbusters thinks that Egon's gone, but Egon's actually fighting the cause on the other side of the
he's Gandalfing on that rooftop then.
Egon, that's what they used to call me. Should we blow the roof off Carnegie Hall, or is that too much?
Let's do it.
Why not? Like, that's the ultimate metaphor, okay, isn't it?
And yeah, that's the end of our second act.
Yeah, I like that.
People will be clutching their marshmallows in the theater, I can tell you.
Yeah, so I think it is a big battle. I think it does take probably the crossing of the streams, you know? Because, but that's not how we end our film, but that's how we end this scene, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think maybe they can't do that again. They're like, we got one shot at this. Do you actually have marshmallows?
Maybe. They're not quite marshmallows. They're just jellies.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
That's amazing.
They're just jellies.
Egon is eating marshmallows after his marshmallow analogy.
I'm really hungry.
Sweet. So we have that. They cross the streams. It blows up. I think everyone's just covered in dust and dirt, you know? I think that's where Egon's standing there, and they're like, do we get him? I think that's where Ecto does something. Egon obliterates, like shatters, like the person he's in or something of that type, right? And they're like, no, because they just lost their friend who will come back later. But that's a great end, because like they've been defeated, utterly defeated. They blew up Carnegie Hall, and this guy still isn't beaten. He escapes. And we're getting into the rumbling of the city, and this giant megazoid ghost is on the street. Like, they fucked up. And they're totally responsible for the biggest ghost of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty badass, right?
Yeah. Could we get it where they don't see the giant Ecto is until they get back to the fire station, and the fire station's front of the fire station
gone.
And it's like, what the hell just happened? They have to go back there to try and help Egon, or they're trying to do something.
Absolutely, yeah. I just meant that this is where we're getting to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We need that reveal.
Yeah, and we just see that big, you know, the footsteps or the rampage and the destruction going down New York, one of the streets, you know, the kind of like, so let's follow the broken buildings, I suppose.
Uh-huh. Okay, I've got a sweet idea. Now that Ghostbusters Central HQ is absolutely destroyed, there's only one place that they can go, and that's back to Columbia University, where they got kicked out of the first film. They have to go to the crusty old dean. It's like, yeah, we have to commandeer your place and your lab, because we need to make more proton packs.
Yeah, you have like they're driving there, and it's like, look, the dean's not going to let us. The dean's not going to still be alive. Come on. It'll make him like about 120 now at this stage, you know?
Oh, I think the dean is there.
And the dean is there. Like, yeah, it's like, what the hell is going on here?
Are you a ghost? No, I'm not.
Do I look like a ghost boy slap or something?
Sweet. So, yeah, that seems like a great thing. They go back to their place. And it's such an iconic building, too.
Hmm.
To see the face ripped off that building is like slapping your childhood in the face.
Yeah, it's like seeing the Enterprise blowing up or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. We just see Slimer in the corner eating still, like looking at them, you know, the kind of way turning his head.
So Slimer's hugging, well, he doesn't have knees, but hugging his rocking back forward.
Comforting. And then something
stressy.
Something pops out of Slimer, and Ray's like, just popped out. Just popped in there. Cool. So they go down to Columbia University, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. They get ready, and then it needs to be like shaking, right? There needs to be some like seismic, catastrophic feeling, you know? Like, I don't think it's like, oh, it's on the news. I think it's like envelopes the city. Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they look out, and it's just got to be mayhem. Like, it's just got to be this thing towering over the city. Like, it's badass.
As big as the sky.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
They turn around to Michael Cera, to Oscar, and it's like, you know what? We need a fort here. You need to suit up, boy. You know what I mean?
Awesome. And we earned that suit. Yeah. But it's like, I don't see it. No, it is it. And it's like, you're actually looking at it. So you have to like, it's so big that you don't even see it because it is the sky.
So basically what you're saying is it's like the blob, but invisible.
Yeah.
Or so like it's changing, it's shifting and all that.
I like that, yeah.
It's kind of like a dark red sky like at sunset, but it's actually a living form. Do you think the president's going to call in airstrikes, which, you know, unfortunately make it worse, that kind of thing? Or do we want to go there?
Well, we can, because these guys are just getting prepared, and maybe Dickless is the president now. No, I've dealt with this before.
I was thinking Ivan Reitman could cameo as the president, but I don't know, maybe that's a bit meta.
Dickless and Michael Chickless.
Dickless is the vice president. I can't see Dickless getting the top job.
Why just have Trump do it, you know? It's fiction anyway.
Oh, we don't want to be too scary.
So we got them at this point now, right? And they're going off against this big bad. And that could be kind of funny, though. I do like the statement of, like, do we get the Statue of Liberty? She didn't return my call. How about the monument? Like, it's too far away, you know? And even to get the whole, like, I don't believe in his politics thing.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do now? Like, I don't really want them to create another I don't want them to get a giant figure, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's something else that we can do. Because we've seen the giant figure they've created to fight the thing.
I think it's going to be a battle inside their imaginations. If we go back to the beginning, what are the Ghostbusters really afraid of? They're afraid of irrelevance. They're afraid of being unappreciated. So maybe it's those things just writ large in a very cartoonish kind of form.
It's true, and we don't want to get into Green Lantern territory, because we talked about that, where...
It's a cloud.
When you fight a cloud, you can't punch it, and we want to be able to punch things.
Basically what we can do is we can have them when they're doing the whole walk of the street. Now, they're doing the same confident walk, or a little less confident before, but...
Bill Murray's quipping.
It's like, you know, it's like, do you think we have it in ourselves? And Bill Murray's there, he's like, you know what? We just blew the roof off Carnegie Hall. I think we can handle anything at the moment.
People, we're back. Don't worry. You may have forgot, but we're here to remind you. You know, like, da-da-da-da-da.
And maybe it's like they antagonize Ecto to freeze them. It's like, you know, they coax them into, you know, come on, you know, you think you're all that, you know, we've taken on bigger bads than you and all. And then they get frozen, brought into the imagination world.
Ghost realm, yeah.
And it's like, right, so this is our plan. Now what? Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to get us here now.
So he's here. He's in our imaginations. It's like a Chris Nolan movie without the constant bwah.
Yeah.
And then they hear a bwah. Oh shit! It's a train and jump out of the way.
So we're gonna have it in the imagine, like in that ghost zone we've introduced already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can see it like.
Yeah, our boys are in there now.
Like that ethereal thing in, the ethereal thing in real life, is probably more like a life-sized person, right?
Mm.
Or just something, because I don't want that.
Yeah,
big...
like, I can see like a 9 foot tall kind of demon, you know, that sort of thing. And he has helpers. He has
that cloud that we've seen. We get our cake and eat it too, you know.
Yeah.
You got that big cloud, but we also know that that's shit to fight. So we get to actually fight a minotaur kind of creature, you know.
And it's physical. It's not a ghost now anymore that they can go through or can go through them.
And the proton pack didn't come with them, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can have some other kind of tricks that they have up their sleeve. Maybe Egon
shows up with their weapons, right?
And Egon could be real now because it's in this like little realm. It's like he's back and he's,
and you know what?
They can hug him now.
I think people will cry when they see Egon back for the first time in his suit because
white suit because he's Gandalf.
Yeah, we've kept him like if you imagine like that kind of ethereal, kind of ghostly figure of him. Yep. When he comes stepping out for the first time, people will be like, oh my God.
Maybe some Ghostbusters get kicked down, you know, and they're on their asses and they're looking at each other, you know. And it's like, I don't know if we can handle this. And then we just see the foot just like standing beside him. I don't know, guys, do your impression. We can, I think we can handle this. We're all together.
Yeah,
you know?
what was he say? So they've been getting their ass kicked by this Minotaur Ecto figure. Like, their weapons don't work in this world. And they've tried, but they're like, we're really getting our ass handed to us. And Bill Murray's like, well, at least no one can see it happening, you know? And then they're all on the ground. This foot steps in.
Camera pans up.
Yeah. It's
just the...
What does he say? Too much pressure.
He's like built pastry. It up too much. He's like pastry crumbled under the pressure.
You should have called.
Oh, my God. Snap.
I like it.
Okay, so he's gonna hand pristine white proton packs to our guys.
Oh, I like ghost pack.
And he's gonna.
What's the opposite of proton? Neutron packs.
Well, positron is an anti-electron.
Jesus Christ!
See, we're so stupid. He could be making this shit up, and we just believe him anyway.
Positive neutron pack.
No, but I've got an idea that Egon is gonna come up with some sort of psycho babble, and like that'll help you in this dimension. So then you're like, oh sweet, and they get into the battle, and it's going okay, and Egon is helping out. And Oscar has come across the other side with them, right?
Yeah.
Egon should confide totally in Oscar, and he says, you know, Oscar, the stuff that I told those guys, it's all bullshit. It's all in your head. It's all positive energy. Think you will succeed, and you will succeed.
Right.
It's like Space Jam, you know, the magic Michael's magic potion kind of thing. Because it has Murray. To be, yeah, because once you're over the other side, all
Bill
the techno
Murray
battle,
again.
Just like, you know, all of my science, all my engineering, it means nothing here. I've hated dealing with people all my life. You are someone I can deal with. Positive thinking will defeat any negative thinking. That should be the axis
good.
Of our family.
And that's where it is. And then it goes into the, like, think of a thing and it will destroy you. And so he thinks positive. So it's like Oscar's... It's like Oscar's positivity is going against this thing's negativity, you know?
I think Oscar and Peter are both thinking of Dana. Dana's kind of the muse now.
What if
Ooh,
Oscar...
I like it.
What if Oscar just thinks that if I need something to help us, I'm going to think of the Ghostbusters, and it just kind of elevates the Ghostbusters up to even more powerful, you know, the kind of way. Mm-hmm. They get their old skills back, you know, they get their quick footedness and the quick thinking, you know,
yeah.
They get all that. So it's not, they're not thinking of like another object, like another staple of Marshmallow Man around that to come in and help the fight. It's actually the Ghostbusters.
They're thinking of each other. Yeah.
They're thinking of teamwork.
They're getting power. Camaraderie.
Yeah. Or if you're watching Fast and Furious, family. Fuck you. There's nothing about family in that goddamn thing, except every time he says it's about family. I like that. But how can we channel that and shoot it at the thing,
and,
you know?
And physicalize that.
We want to just blast it with white light, you know?
Yeah, I think they've been playing tug of war. Maybe our guys drag Ecto back into the real world. And because we're kind of halfway between the two, if our guys were suddenly the height of skyscrapers, that's a little bit too much like the old way of doing things.
Yeah.
So if they're constantly shifting, it's kind of a constant tug of war. It's like almost, well, again, I didn't see Ant-Man, but if they're shifting scales, but we want to make it physical in front of everybody.
Yeah.
What about our Central Park shantytown idea? Does that go by the wayside? Or
what is that shantytown idea?
Well, it's just everybody was afraid of doors. Everybody's just like living outdoors in like a communal space, like in the park. Or something.
I like that. No, get people out there because they're fearing for their lives, and there's no, like, it's an open space, right?
Yeah.
So you can have buildings crumbling and people run into the open space.
Oscar is running around to the other people that are in this dimension, you know, the other ones that are frozen, and telling them to believe in the Ghostbusters? And it's that power that, you know, So he's getting everyone inside. Everyone is now learning about the Ghostbusters. They're not just something from the 80s.
Because when you're frozen and you're in another dimension, you only have one thing to ask yourself. Who are you going to call?
I like it. So when everyone's believing enough and you see glimmers of like this fight coming back into real life, mm-hmm. but that big ghost thing is getting smaller, like it's actually decreasing and the fight is right in front of Central Park.
Yeah, the sky is flickering through.
And so I think at this point, like, enough people believe, so then they just grab him and it just lands into real New York, and that's where the final moment happens, right?
Right.
And in front of everybody who will once again believe in the Ghostbusters.
We have like the Harlem, like on a bigger scale, but the Harlem, the Hulk and the Abomination, you know, that standoff either end of a big street.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone's looking at the Ghostbusters now, and it's like, okay, so it's on those guys.
Yeah, it's like no one entity can defeat Ecto, but if everybody grabs off a fucking personalized chunk and just kicks the shit out of it and their own negativity,
yeah,
that's how you get rid of them.
I think, yeah, there's something about like everything shooting out of everybody is attacking this one creature, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, maybe it starts with the ghost, they're standing in front, so it's like these four guys at the front of an army. And the army's scared, and then you just see, like, it's not their guns. The guns don't work, so something about them is just shooting at this, and it gets hit. Then it gets hit again, and it gets hit four times. Then Oscar comes out, stands there, it gets hit. The mayor and all the people that believed are standing there, and then soon enough,
maybe even Dickless goes, I love these guys.
And Bill Murray pushes them away.
Go for the dick, Dickless, go for the...
Yeah, I don't think we need your help here. It's okay.
So everyone, an entire city, all believing in the Ghostbusters and standing together, put their positivity and blow up Ecto. Just explodes. And slime lands on everyone. And everyone laughs. Like, that disgusting thing, but that's camaraderie and everyone's together. Right? That's how we go.
I think that's our third act.
And that's it?
I can think of one little sort of a finale. Once the city is entirely cleaned up, we go to a special concert dedicated to our heroes at Carnegie Hall.
Uh-huh. An open air concert.
An open roof.
Yeah, open air concert. And what if the conductor cues up the orchestra and we go into a full orchestral rendition of the Ghostbusters theme by Ray Parker Jr. with no
and
lyrics.
Ray Parker is a ghost.
Can we not have Huey Lewis do it? Since it was thinking, his song anyway.
I wanted Kanye West to do our version, but like it'll bleed into the song over the credits.
Cool. Excellent. And that's it. We're done. That's a wrap. Mm-hmm. That's the Ghostbusters 3.
That would never happened.
Love it. What do you guys think?
I go see it.
I think it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward now to like when the other Ghostbusters movie come out, we can actually see it and compare it. You
compare
know,
notes.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. My 7-word review is going na 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 na. Okay, guys. Thank you very much. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode, and let us know what you think. You can hit us up on Twitter, email, you know the deal, Stevie.
Yeah, at Storybreakers on Twitter, Storybreakers, Facebook, and Gmail as well.
How would your Ghostbusters go? Would you actually do a sequel? If so, How you do it? We want to hear. Aiden, you're on the film show, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing? You want to tell us a little something about that?
Well, we're going to be wrapping up the film show relatively soon. We're never going to say never, but yeah, we're at Film Show Podcast. Tune into our last few episodes where we'll be talking about Star Wars quite a bit pretty soon.
Okay. Well, Aiden, thank you for attending the breaking of this story.
Mr. Brennan, it was a pleasure working with you.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Good night.
Adios.
Together again.
Afraid of no ghosts.